Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Lemon Hour podcast with me, Gary Jones. I hope you've all had a fantastic week. I've got a really cool show lined up for you today. Now I'm going to be speaking to Michelle Aberhall, who runs Michelle Aberhall Designs. Great name. And now I've known Michelle for a couple of years now. I've seen her and watched her grow her business and it's been phenomenal. And you might have seen her on different displays such as the Leamington Comic Con and Spartan Comics. Really cool designs, really quirky, and she gets into the mind of the person who she's designing for. Now this is a three-part interview. First part is all about her background, which we're going to hear in just a second. Second, hints and tips, and then the third podcast extra. So I hope you enjoy the show, and let's get cracking with part one. Let's go. Our first interview today is with the lovely Michelle Aberhall, who runs, funny enough, Michelle Aberhall Designs. It's a great name, Michelle.
It's so imaginative, isn't it?
It's brilliant. And we're still at the lovely Pinswood Hall, which is beautiful, and they do coffee, which is called Heavenly Coffee.
Nice.
Spot on. So, Michelle, thanks for coming on to the show today.
Yes.
I think we met, first of all, was it a couple of years ago at one of the live events that I was doing? Is
yes,
that right?
Yeah, I think it was about 2 years ago now, one of the Leamington Hour meetups.
Perfect. And it's been really cool to see your company kind of take shape and to kind of, I would say take design, to kind of take a format, and it's good. So how's the last 2 years been?
Yeah, I mean, when I first came to that event, I think I was still part-time. I was still kind of deciding whether to go full-time self-employed. I think that was a really key moment, actually. I was trying to do more networking. I was trying to sort of get myself out there.
Yeah.
So that was a really pivotal point. I think I met quite a few people on that evening, and sort of it contributed to helping me decide to go for it, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and meeting other people that have been there, done that, started a business, you know.
It's really easy when you start to talk to people to understand their passions and why they've set things up. So for people who don't know your business, what is your business?
So I'm a freelance graphic designer and I also do illustration and copywriting.
Sure.
So anything sort of creative, visually or, you know, writing wise. Work for myself, I'm my own boss, work with, you know, loads of different companies the past 2 years. Sort of built up from nothing, which I'm really proud of.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, everyone starts from nothing, don't they? But you know, it's going really well, and it's, when you look back for the last 2 years, it's been pretty mad, actually.
It's been really cool to see it.
Yeah.
So what were you doing before that?
So I my last sort of what I'd call proper job, inverted commas, was digital marketing.
Okay.
And before that I had a variety of sort of office-y jobs, nothing massively inspiring.
Okay.
And then previous to that, it was kind of, you know, after I'd graduated, it was literally like any job that I could find. So there wasn't this master plan at all. I didn't have a career plan. I didn't have any kind of long-term goals. I think I kind of just sort of wandered, what's the word, sort of floated
meandered,
around. Meandered around for a few years. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And I think anyone that's listening that's in the creative sector will understand what it's like to graduate and not be able to find a job.
Yeah. So what was your degree in?
It was in illustration, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, which is more, I would describe it more on the sort of fine arts side of design.
Okay.
And it's a lot of people that was on my course have gone on to be like children's book illustrators.
Okay.
And they've kept that kind of real pure illustration, you know, characters and things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas I sort of went a little bit the other way and went more towards graphic design and the kind of, I suppose you could call it more commercial design.
Okay.
But yeah, like I say, you know, you graduate and go in the big bad world and you're looking for a junior designer job and everyone's saying, no, I need experience. You can't, we don't want to hire a graduate, which is like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Chicken and egg situation. And then you just, you know, like I say, you just take a job because you need money and then you sort of lose your way a little bit. So it took me a while to get back on track and get more focus, I suppose.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But I suppose the job you took, was it still combining different bits? So if you look at Michelle Aberhall Design now, can you kind of draw different points of where, of all your different jobs?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't want to sound too sort of negative about it because every job that I've had has given me skills.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, although it wasn't like dream job, it was still valuable. And the last job I had, the digital marketing role, I was doing social media and I was doing website stuff and copywriting, and that's when I started to really get into copywriting. So you know, it's steps along the way, isn't it? And you know, you can't be too hard on yourself and go, oh God, I've wasted years, because it's never a waste.
No, I think when the more interviews I do, the more I understand that actually everyone's journey is exactly that. It's a journey. Mm. So you've got a starting point. Then everything that you do in between then and now contributes to it.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant to see that journey, because, you know, a job that you don't passionate about can still give you skills that you can do that.
Yeah, so you know, and maybe looking back now, when I first graduated, I wasn't ready to start my own business at all. I had no clue what I was doing in terms of, you know, all the different things you need to consider when you set up on your own.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, one of my jobs, you know, one of my office jobs was in a kind of recruitment place.
Okay.
So I learned about contracting, and I learned about limited companies and payroll and VAT and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And you think, well, now I've got an understanding of bookkeeping and invoicing and things. I suppose a lot of people that start out would go, oh, where do I start? Mm. And I've got, you know, an overview of it.
Yeah.
So in a funny way, it all links in, doesn't it? And yeah,
it does. So when you first started your company, have you seen an evolution in your product since then to now, or is it still the same kind of product?
I think, to be honest, now I'm kind of in my second year of really dedicating time to it.
Yeah.
I've been able to sort of say to myself, right, these are the sort of jobs I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started out, I said yes to a lot of things that perhaps weren't using my skills, because that's the way it goes. And I think now I'm really trying to get out that I'm focusing on the creative stuff,
mm-hmm.
creative, visual design, copywriting, anything going towards the more marketing side, I'm not particularly interested in.
No, okay.
So I would say to, you know, if I've got clients that already are interested in that sort of thing, I'd refer them to someone else, or say, you know, it's not my strength, it's not my, you know, particular interest.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm in a position now where I can be a bit more fussy.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of really enjoying that, actually, you know.
Cause it's good, because you're playing to your passions, which means the customer and your client are going to be getting a better service for you. Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, there will be someone out there that will do a better job than me on certain things. Mm. You know, I'm not pretending I can do everything. So I think it's just about being honest and saying, you know, 2 years ago, the jobs I would have said yes to are different to the ones I do now.
Yeah.
So, but I'm really kind of enjoying that opportunity to be able to be more refined and say, I'm not sort of saying yes to stuff out of necessity.
No, that makes
really
sense.
That's really good.
And that puts you in a very strong position as well, and a positive position as well.
Yeah, really positive.
Yes, how does that make you feel as a person?
I think it's been really important, actually. In fact, it's been the last few months that I've really started making some tough decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's always about confidence for me. I think everything stems down to confidence.
Yeah.
Confidence in yourself and being your own boss and running your business the way you want to.
Yeah.
I think it has taken time to say, right, this is the sort of thing I want to do.
Mm.
And it's not about letting people down. It's not about feeling bad about yourself because you're saying no. It's saying, this is my strength. This is what I want to do. And it's been a really kind of key thing the last few months of doing that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, we're going to cut now for a break, and then we'll come back for part two. And then we're going to talk about some of the common mistakes that some people might make, or misconceptions about the industry, and go for a bit more. Is that okay?
Awesome. Yeah.
If you did want to get on the podcast, all you need to do is contact me through Twitter, search me at Leamington Hour, all one word, and then you'll be able to find us, connect with us. You can check me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as Gary Jones, but mainly let me know about your story, let me know about your business or event, and we'll get it sorted. But I would love to have you on the show, and I would love to hear, promote and connect you with other business owners and help you promote your business or service. Let's rejoin me and Michelle for part two of this cracking interview. We're back now for part two with Michelle. So I just want to kind of quickly recap on your design business. So what kind of products and services do you offer people?
Okay, so basically anything visual for print and online.
Okay.
So you're talking things like brochures, e-books, any kind of sort of documentation that you want to send out.
Mm-hmm.
And then print wise it's, you know, the usual sort of business cards, letterheads, even things like a huge advert, billboard, whatever size you need, kind of thing. You know, I did one at Leamington Station once, and it was, they call it a 48 sheeter, and it was huge, and it was so exciting to see something that that big.
So it must have been immense.
It was really cool. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. So yeah, anything sort of advert wise, and then I do the more sort of personal commissions. So things like wedding invitations and things that are very bespoke and very personal. So one recent client wanted like an anniversary piece of artwork that was completely a one-off, and it was her and her husband as superhero characters.
Okay.
So that was a really cool sort of commission.
Yeah.
And then I think I might have mentioned this last time I spoke to you, but like a tattoo design I did.
You did?
Yeah, the squirrel
one. You did.
So literally there is not really any limits on what I can sort of create, you know.
Yeah.
And also things for websites like infographics and little icons, little, you know, the smaller little buttons and little icons and things, quite fun to do.
Cool. So as a small business, why is it important to have these kind of little things?
I think it's important to kind of have a consistent brand that you're showing to people, and it's amazing how the little touches can create this really professional look. So you've got your logo. Most people start with a logo and think, oh, that's it, I'm done. But if you say, I'm a small business, I want to look professional. If you have a logo, and then if you have a banner on your website that ties in with that, and then if you've got your little buttons on your website that tie in with that, and then you've got your letterheads or whatever, it all just creates this consistent branding, and it looks like you've spent time and thought, you know, how to present yourself. And I think it doesn't have to be expensive, and it doesn't have to be a long process, but it just looks really good to have these little things that have you know, taken a bit of thought. And I think people's impression of that business would be really positive.
Yeah. And do you get people who come up to you with absolutely no idea?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, the variety, because you get some clients that come to you with a really fully formed brief and say, literally, I know what I want, I just need you to like realize it.
Okay.
Then you have the other end of the spectrum where someone's like, you know, free reign, do what you want, which can be quite tricky, actually. So you can have everything in between. Some people have a doodle on a napkin and they go, this needs to be a logo, which is fine. But I would always encourage, you know, with the initial meeting with a client, I'd always encourage them to either make some kind of mood board or, you know, like a Pinterest board, things that they like. Even things they dislike is helpful, just to get into that visual mindset.
Yeah.
It really helps a designer to kind of get on the same page.
Yeah, it's like the same as someone saying, what's your ideal customer? And you go, well, everyone. You can't target everyone.
Yeah, that's
so
the thing,
therefore,
that's the
if you've got a more, just a little bit of a brief.
Yeah, just to kind of hone it down. And, you know, I think a lot of people put themselves down and go, oh, I'm not creative, I'm not visual. But it doesn't take much to set up a Pinterest board. And even that's just your opinion and what you like, that's still making decisions and, you know, creating this feel and look. Whether that's, you know, really traditional, whether it's really modern, it gives your designer an idea of where you're going and what you want to, how you want to represent yourself.
Cool. Okay, that's good to know. Now, in terms of the actual kind of industry you're in, is there any kind of misconceptions or common mistakes that people make?
I think from a client point of view, I think some people can assume that good design is going to be really expensive.
Okay.
And there's obviously different levels of budget. There's people who operate in different levels of the spectrum. But I think some small businesses get put off just, you know, commissioning a designer. They think, oh, it's only for the big boys. It's not something that I can do as a small business. But that is a misconception, you know. It can be affordable. If you're kind of investing in your business and you want to work on your branding, that's something that should last you for years. And you know, I think people think, oh, I can't afford it, I can't invest in it. But you know, talk to people in your area, talk to suppliers, talk to designers. There'll be somebody that's right for your business. And talk to a few. Don't just sort of go with the first one that, you know, that you find in Yellow Pages or whatever. But yeah, I think that's a misconception. For me, I think it's quite difficult to sometimes predict how long jobs are going to take.
Okay.
And I think from the outside, people think, oh, you must know how long it will take to do something. But you have to kind of, you get better at it as you get more experience.
So give us an example of that.
Yeah. So say if someone wants a quote for a logo design or a brochure design, I can look back at how long other things have taken me.
Yeah.
But it is always a guesstimate.
Yeah.
And that is probably the trickiest thing about what I do, and I'm sure other freelancers in the same situation will understand. It's, you know, you're always kind of basing it on your previous work, and
yeah.
you get one that will just take far longer than you ever thought.
Yeah.
And then you might get one that you think, oh, I've cracked this in like a day. Yeah. So it is, the creative process is hard to sort of pin down sometimes. But yeah, you have to try and manage people's expectations as well.
Yeah.
So that's part of the whole customer relationship.
No, that makes sense.
Doing that.
That makes sense. I'm sure at the start when you're talking to a customer, you let them know that. I'm sure
yeah,
that would be
exactly.
one of the common
exactly.
things that you would say. Because
yeah.
otherwise then they've got different expectations to where
yeah.
you are.
This is it. And this is why people often do like a package thing where they say it's going to cost this much and they'll absorb any extra cost. Or you'd say, okay, the other side of it is I could do it on an hourly rate. So
yeah.
you've got different options for different businesses and different people.
Yeah.
You have to kind of, yeah, you have to sort of think what's going to suit somebody.
No, that makes sense.
When you first sort of start speaking to them.
Cool. And have you seen any kind of really bad designs or really bad things where you just think, you're just crying out to help them, but without naming anybody or naming anything,
yeah, I
can you kind of narrow those down to a few different types?
You're going to laugh at me, because when I was first...
It's not me, is it?
No. When I was first starting out, I was just sort of trying a few different things, and I saw this horrendous logo. I won't say too much, because I don't want people to guess what it was, but it was for a kind of beauty service,
okay.
I'd say. And the logo looked to me like a blood splatter. And I
okay.
just thought, that is the wrong impression. It looks like a horror film or something.
Yeah.
And I actually emailed them and said, in a really diplomatic way, your logo is giving the wrong impression for your business. I can help you. And I was a bit sort of cheeky about it. Didn't get a reply, which I was really disappointed about. I really wanted them to come back to me, even just to say or sod off. But
yeah.
I thought, oh, I'm just going to be a bit provocative. But I'm really upset that I didn't get a reply.
I wonder how many people did that at the same time, though.
You never know. I think people are afraid of being seen as being rude. But honestly, it was just all wrong. It was, you know...
Because I do wonder sometimes with logos, and this is just me talking openly.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if when they design a logo, some people actually go for that kind of shock factor. So actually they go, okay, well, let's go completely left field here and let's do something completely different because no one else is doing it, and actually we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate there.
I think you see trends, don't you? And some, you go through like really minimalist trends where it's just text, and then you go, you know, there's a whole rash of companies that have like got animal names and they've got a cute animal logo, whatever. So people are always trying to stand out, but then fashion works that way that everyone will just copy everybody. So you kind of, it's tricky as a designer to be inspired by trends without being like a slave to them. So, but always doing what fits the business, because a cute character logo is not going to suit a lawyer, for example, or an accountancy, unless they specifically want to stand out for that reason. So you do have to kind of weigh up the, like you say, the kind of shock factor with, is this going to suit your business?
True. You know? Another area that we were speaking about before was all about copywriting. And I know obviously that's something you're passionate about. Why is that important for just a layman who doesn't know anything about it?
It's funny actually, because a lot of people will spend time and money on a visual for their business, and then when it comes to copywriting, they'll just do it themselves.
Yeah.
Whether that's for their website or a brochure, they'll just sort of think, well, I know my business, I'll just whack out 300 words and it'll be great. But it's not always the best course of action, because if you're too close to what you do and you're trying to explain it to somebody that doesn't understand, it's never going to be an explanation. You might think you're explaining something, but in fact...
It's not. Yeah.
So I think actually people do tend to ignore the copywriting side at their peril, because that all ties into the tone of voice and the communication you have with your customers. It all has to link together.
Yeah.
And you have to think about how your copywriting is being sort of processed by people. Is it coming across in a patronising way, or is it coming across as a friendly tone of voice? You know, you have to kind of... consider these things.
Yeah. So copywriting isn't just correcting spelling and grammar, it's actually the voice of it and the content as well.
Yeah, it's creative in that sense. It's, you are creating I always think of it as, you know, I'm talking to somebody, like if I write copy for somebody,
yeah.
I always kind of read it out loud and think, how does this come across? Is this understandable? Is it, you know, is it easy to listen to? So it's creating that whole thing. And then you do things like taglines and kind of snappy little short things as well.
Yeah.
Even just like Twitter, you know, statuses.
Mm.
That has to be thought put into that, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it covers everything.
Oh, cool. Okay. And is there any common mistakes people make with that?
Yeah, as I touched on earlier, I think people always assume that their audience understands more than they do.
Okay.
Because if you're in a business, say if you've been in a business for 20 years, it's your, you know, it's second nature to you.
Yeah.
You're trying to get customers to your website, you're trying to explain what you do, and you use, you know, the terminology that maybe they don't understand, or you kind of assume knowledge on their part, especially with things like acronyms, you know.
Yeah.
Even just a simple thing like acronym, people go, well, everyone knows what that means. Do they? Or is that just your industry?
Yeah.
So that's a common mistake. And I think, again, people might assume it's too expensive to hire someone to do it for them. But, you know, even to hire someone to say, well, I'm going to review it for you, point out where you're going wrong. If you want me to redo it, I'll redo it. But, you know, get an outside point of view on it.
That makes sense.
You know, cool. Really valuable.
Cool. Now, at this point in the interview, I always ask every guest I have here, what would their golden nugget be? So what would their one bit of pure golden advice they would give to someone? It could be a business, organisation, event, whatever it is. What's your golden nugget?
I think it's got to be consider your communication. And that can cover everything from your website to your social media to your printed materials. Everything you put out into the world communicates to your customers, whether they're existing customers or potential customers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't underestimate the power of that, and don't scrimp on it, and don't put out stuff that's low res imagery, don't put out stuff that's badly printed. Just have some quality standards in place, and it doesn't have to cost the world, but just put some thought into it and review it on occasion as well. If you've had a brand for 20 years, is it time to rebrand? You know, is it time to kind of modernize?
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just an adaptation, it's all, everything you put out there is communicating something.
Mm-hmm. So consider that communication.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Hey, perfect. Is there anything else you want to add at this point?
Gosh, I'm looking through my...
You've covered a head of a lot.
My pages of notes. I think I have covered everything,
and there is pages of notes everywhere.
Oh, I know. I'm such an over-prepared person.
It's all good.
Yeah, I think that's all I wanted to say,
perfect.
Really.
So if someone wants to get hold of you on social media or good old-fashioned phone, websites, that kind of thing, how would they?
Yeah, I mean, I always prefer to deal with people on email to start with.
Okay.
So my email is hello@michelleaberhall.com.
Nice.
And then I would maybe arrange a face-to-face or a phone call or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the website is Michelle Aberhall Design. It's the same on LinkedIn and Facebook. And then on Twitter, I'm Mish Aberhall, which is M-I-S-H Aberhall. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you pretty much Google Aberhall, I will come up in some form.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you very much. And obviously there'll be another section relating to the podcast. So check out the podcast in about 12 weeks' time. And thank you very much.
Michelle. Thanks, Gary.
In this podcast section, we're going to be talking about your top three tips about working with a designer. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
I've got the title right.
Yep.
Brilliant. So what's your top tip number one?
So number one, if you've never worked with a designer before, ask your network for referrals.
Mm-hmm.
It's always better to get recommendations, like any other service. But talk to a few designers before you decide who you're going to work with.
Yeah.
Because people have different styles, they have different ways of working, they might even have different workloads. You might talk to a designer who's not free for another month.
Mm.
Is your project, you know, deadline sensitive?
Yeah.
So I would always recommend kind of playing the field a little bit to start with.
Yeah.
If your business needs to outsource, and then you'll find someone that you can work well with.
Okay.
You know, maybe do a face-to-face meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll build this great relationship that will be, you know, for years to come.
Yeah. Oh, cool. That's a really good top tip.
Cool.
What's your top tip number two?
Okay, so when you're working with a designer and you're commissioning a piece of work, always be as clear as possible where the design's going to be used.
Okay.
I.e., is the logo going to be on the website?
Mm-hmm.
Is the design going to be on a massive billboard? Is it going to be for print? They're going to need that information to have the right kind of artwork, specifications, etc.
Why would that be important?
I think because if you're if you're doing something for print, it's different requirements to if you're doing something online, for example. And a good designer will always provide you with the right artwork files. So you might know, like, a JPEG is often used for websites.
Yeah.
If it's a print job, it will most likely be a PDF. You know, you need to kind of communicate with them what you're using it, what the end result will be.
Perfect.
And then I'd also say, as an add-on to that, if you're thinking about getting something printed, have a chat to your designer, because they're going to have some experience about things like print finishes. They might be able to recommend, example, if you're having a business card done, have you thought about maybe getting it embossed or maybe having some sort of foil finish on it? You know, they can kind of give you some ideas about how to make it look that bit extra
and stand out.
Just the type of paper, you know, do you want it to be glossy, do you want it to be matte, do you want it to be thick to the touch? You know, I mean, most designers will be able to sort of guide you in that direction as well. And it just, you know, like I said, you know, a bit of extra thought goes into it. It'll just make it look more professional. You know, you get your money's worth in the printer as well.
Perfect. So that's top tip number two. This is golden, by the way. And what's top tip number three?
Okay, so I would say, if you can plan ahead before you commission a job, before you commission a design, the more information you can give to your designer, the better the end result will be.
Okay.
A really good way of doing that is to have a Pinterest board.
Okay.
I've done that with a few clients, where you can actually share a board with somebody. So what it is, you just go on Pinterest, and if you don't know how to use it, you just collect images. You can browse by category, you can browse things like modern logo design, for example, or traditional logo design. Create a mood board that you can share with your designer. They will know instantly where your head's at.
Okay.
They'll be able to, you know, kind of interpret your brief more thoroughly, because they've got something visual to go on.
Got it.
And it's just a great way to kind of start that process.
Okay, cool. So just to kind of recap, your top three tips are...
So number one is, when you're first looking to work with a designer, talk to a few people.
Perfect.
Second one is, always have the end result in mind when you're commissioning design. Is it print? Is it web? Is it an embroidered thing on the back of a leather jacket? And number three, plan ahead with regards to what your design, what your kind of plan is for the design. And things like mood boards are really helpful.
Perfect. Cheers.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for that absolutely brilliant interview. There were so many golden nuggets in there that I love listening back to that. And if you do want to check her out, contact her via Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, email, or good old-fashioned phone, and get in touch. She's absolutely golden. She puts customers at the forefront of her business, and I love that. And so check her out, Michelle Aberhall Designs. Now, remember, all of these podcasts have been on my radio show called Leamington Hour Radio Show on Radio Warwickshire, which goes out every Monday between 6:30 and 7:30 in the evening, and Wednesdays between 5 and 6. Check it out. I've got loads more lined up for you coming up. So have a great week, everyone, and I'll speak to you next week. Cheers.